Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 55 of the Panelcast. This is Brian.
And AJ.
And this episode, we are going to be bringing you some more of our wonderful reviews, as well as talk about some of the news items that are coming up in the comic book world. And of course, we got a couple of recordings for you from some of the previous conventions that we've been hitting. So we'll go ahead and play those for you as well. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. Before we get started with the show, we just wanted to play some of the recordings that we made while we were working at some of the conventions lately. We had the Rose Bowl Comic Book and Collectible Show, as well as the Claremont Packing House Show. The recordings are not too long, they're just a little bit of tidbits of me and Justin going off about a few things. So yeah, we'll go ahead and play them and be right back.
Hello everybody, this is AJ, and we're here at the Rose Bowl Comics and Collectibles Show. I am once again joined by Mr. Justin.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, so Justin, it's been a whole week since the last time we talked. How are things going with you?
Well, so far, so good.
Notice how short and curt his answers are. I've made him paranoid over his discussion in the last panel cast, so...
Why, just because it was an hour and 45 minutes long and mostly due to me?
But see, that adds character and depth. Like, that's filler space. And you know what? I want to see how well you draw while listening to yourself talk.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a good point.
See, Justin draws while he's listening to the panel cast, so that's why, like, we notice nothing gets done when we take those two-week breaks in between panel casts. Nothing gets drawn.
I haven't really listened to you, so.
Yeah, see.
Uninspired.
So we're here at the show. Do you want to complain about the show first, or should I?
No. Oh, here comes Mike.
There's Mike. Yeah. He just admitted it to us. You heard him come out of the closet on the show.
You heard it here first. Well, you know, it's Mother's Day, so I was kind of expecting it. I didn't think about it because, well, you're in the same boat. My mom's out of state.
Right.
So I don't... I get my present mailed out early, and I don't think about it the actual day, and then I realized today that it was Mother's Day. I was like, oh, it's probably going to be pretty slow today. And we did okay. We sold a few books and a couple prints, so, I mean,
right.
It hasn't been...
Well, that seems to be the standard. The thing that I'm liking is that we sell a book every show.
Yeah, no matter how slow it is.
And there's Chris. Hi, Chris. As he waves.
Trust us, he waved.
So, yeah, we sell a book every show, so that's a good thing. More of our fans came out to see us, though. That would be nice, huh?
Yeah, they could come by. You don't have to buy anything. You just come by and say hi. But if you buy something, that'd be really, really cool. But
right.
You can just come by and say hi and let us know you're out there. But the Rose Bowl is really cool anyway. I mean, even besides the comic thing, you got this huge flea market, and there's all kinds of cool stuff to look at up there.
Right. It's not just a comic book show. It's a whole other thing going on.
Yeah, but the comics are the best part.
Yeah. Because we're inside.
Yeah. We got the best seats.
And what's really sad is we put on, this is like, we have such a big space here that we put on the biggest display here. Like, we have the nicest table set up right now for the three people that have stopped by.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris. Want to tell us about the show?
It's great. It's at the Rose Bowl. Second Sunday every month.
That's great.
Come down and have fun. That's all.
Run away, Chris. Run away. That was Chris Brady, everybody. He runs the show. As you can tell, why we only have three people here.
A man of few words.
A man of few words and few customers. So yeah, anyway, we have such a big space here, and we put on, we have the nicest table going on, big display. We bring out everything that we have here, just for the availability, and again, because we have the space, and it's we need more people coming out, so come on out.
They can come down and tell us how great our booth looks, because we have the best looking booth here.
Yeah, it's sexy. We're just missing booth babes, actually, but, and I couldn't justify bringing booth babes to this, because I knew it was Mother's Day, so we're not going to get that much traffic, but still. That would have been nice. Hey, and there's Zach. Hey, Zach. We're recording, Zach, so why don't you come over and say hi. Tell us about that new segment we're going to have you doing coming up on the show. We talk about all the collectible comics and stuff. You brought it up during when we saw Iron Man 2.
It's all about talking about comic books as investments.
Right.
Yeah. Just going to be going over some of the major keys that have been doing well for the past 20 years. Books that have already established value and will continue to rise within the next 10 to 20.
Awesome. Now, why don't you tell us about your latest buy?
My latest buy, I picked up a collection of old DC Silver Age, about $3,800 worth of books. I picked them up for about $400.
Nice, nice. You also have Hulk 181, Amazing Fantasies, all online.
The whole nine. I have about every major Silver Age appearance for Marvel. Most of my books are slabbed. I'm currently working on a 9.2 run, CGC run for Bronze Age, which is, so far I have Hulk 181, Amazing 129, Marvel Spotlight 5, and I'm going to continue on through probably Tomb of Dracula 10. I'm looking forward towards getting also I'd like to get some of the early Frank Miller stuff on Daredevil. I'd like to get 158, First Electra 168, graded in high grade. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, have to send us some pictures of that so we can post up on the
definitely
site. And trust me, he may have a sexy voice, but he's nowhere near as sexy as he sounds.
That is correct. That is correct.
I am being sarcastic. This fucker's tatted from head to toe. I hate him. Awesome. Thanks, Zach. And we're back. Apparently that guy knows some thing or two about comics.
I guess. Yeah, he might know a thing or two about
maybe
comics.
I think he read it in a book somewhere. where are we going to be at next?
We are going to be at the Packing House show in Claremont. It's changed up a little bit. It's on Sundays now, so it's a little bit more accessible. There's no competing show that day. So
hint, nudge, Ned, Frankenstein.
And so, yeah, we're going to check it out, give it another shot. It was a little, it was a lot slow the last time we did it, but we're going to give it another shot. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It is con season, so there's a good chance that we may see a lot more crowd. And the person running it says that there are a lot more vendors going to be signing up, so we'll see how that turns out.
But yeah, everyone should come down, check it out. It's free parking, free admission, so I mean, it's absolutely free to get in. And it's a really, if it actually, it's a
cool, that was John Arcomi.
Yeah. It's actually a cool environment. So yeah, come on down, check it out, and we'll have the usual swag there for you, and you can come get a sketch done and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yes, and Justin will hug you. He likes hugging people.
I do hug.
He's a hugger. It is also, it's on the 16th of May, next Sunday, the day after my birthday. So come bring me presents. That would be awesome. Since the last time we talked, have you read anything or watched anything of interest?
I just finished up The Hunter by Darwin Cook, which is an adaptation of a 60s crime novel. It's actually the novel that that movie Payback with Mel Gibson was based on. And it was phenomenal. Darwin Cook wrote it and illustrated it, and it's illustrated all like 60s artwork. It all looks like 60s advertising. It's all in one color. It's all done in blue and black. And it's just really cool. If you know Darwin Cook, you know his style, and he's got a real retro style anyway, but then when all his brush strokes and everything looks like an old 60s ad. So, I mean, it was just really cool. It was really good. And I picked that up at WonderCon, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Awesome. I haven't read that one yet, so...
Yeah, it was cool. What's cool about it is it's about a crook getting revenge on other crooks. I mean, so there's hardly no redeeming factors about anybody in that book. You know, there's a good guy who's just not as bad as the other bad guys. That's basically what it boils down to. But he's a real hard ass, and it's just a cool... If you're into crime stories, noir crime stories, it's right up your alley. It's really cool.
Awesome. I'll have to pick it up and check it out, because I'm always down for, you know, non-superhero-y comic books anyway, so I'll check it out. You need to read Area 10.
Okay.
There, done. as for me, I haven't had a chance to read anything yet. I did get the We Will Bury You books from Zane and Bria Grant. Zane sent them out to me. I'll be checking them out and talking about it maybe on the next show. I know you haven't been on the site since I did it, because I did it last night. But I posted a lot of the new movie release dates that are coming out and a little short description about them. So if you guys are surfing around on the site, check it out. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more people talking. And we're back, and we have to talk about the coolest thing that just happened to us. Justin gets to talk.
Apparently, Sky was here looking at our stuff, and he is in the Army and was saying that he heard some of his buddies talking about our book. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're talking about the Zombie Kill Squad, and they were all like excited about it. So he bought a book in Hollyhampton. Apparently we're in a magazine somewhere.
Yeah, I guess he saw my Hellboy prints and the Red Skull, I think, he said he recognized. So, yeah, we need to find out what that is and
right.
Why we weren't informed.
So,
I was going to say, don't get me wrong, I'm glad to be in a magazine. Right. I just would like to know and have copies and
frame it and, like, tell my mommy. So if you are listening, Mr. Put Us in a Magazine, give a call. Let us know what's up. that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, if anybody did put us in a magazine, let us know. I mean, we'll sell it here, you know. We'll do some cross-promotion. We're always down for that.
So. Right. Scratch our backs and we'll hug you. Just all there is to it. So, we're pretty much winding down here in the day. And we're all pretty burnt out because of the boredom. So come find us at the Cromon Show, and I will toss this back over to me and Brian, who are talking about, hopefully, part more interesting stuff. And we're back here at the Rose Bowl Show real quick, talking to John Narcomi. John, what's going on in your life right now?
Stuff. So actually, we're gearing up at Hightower for the Diamond release of Smart Bulls number 1, coming out in the June previews catalog. And then I'm working on some undisclosed projects with Semantic Publishing, and I'm working with AJ on a book for Forbidden Panel and doing some single pages and pinups for ZKS, as well as doing my own creator-owned stuff and hoping to do a new story arc for Ghost Space in the near future.
Awesome. You also got a new studio you opened up, right?
Oh, yeah, I got a new studio.
He forgot. I'm good. Good thing I need to remind him.
Got a new studio, Drawhard Studios is what it's called. It's www.drawhard.com. The website isn't all that fancy, but it links back to my DeviantArt page, and people can email me for commissions or, see about looking for work. I check out my artwork through DeviantArt.
Awesome. So you have a lot going on. Are you excited about all that? You seem to be keeping busy.
Yeah, this year should be really, really good for me, man. I'm getting to do more artwork. The last year and a half has been a lot of administrative stuff, not so much artwork, and a lot of me babysitting and just not really doing the things I got into comic books for, so this year will be great.
All right, cool. Sorry, we scared a customer away. So, talk to me. What are you reading right now?
Oh my god, what am I reading right now? Dude, I just finished reading Gravel. I've been into a lot of Warren Ellis. I just finished reading his collection of blogs called Do Anything. And then I was doing a lot of
check out Freak Angels.
I keep hearing about that. I haven't read that one yet. But I'm reading the Batman Brave and the Bold comic, because I like the big, bold styles that it's got going on. Eric Jones is a great artist doing that book. And then, Walking Dead, the average stuff, dude. Right. But I just got a book on Osamu Tezuka, a big, fat collection of his work from his life, a DVD. And I'm reading that, and that's actually great. So I'm just doing a lot of history books on comics and just keep myself busy with things like look at.
Awesome, because when you're not busy, you're
I'm drawing.
Either way, you might as well just put a name on it, right?
Yeah, I'm working all the time, but I'm really happy. This is great, just be drawing more and doing more. I still got to do stuff for Hightower, administrative-wise, with the release of Smart Bulls and things like that, but I'm actually getting to, this whole year has been me just doing a lot more artwork and a lot more pinups, and, it's really exciting for me.
Awesome. Well, it's good to hear. Iron Man 2, what'd you think?
Oh my god! Iron Man 2 2 is 2 times the first Iron Man, actually. It's pretty much almost the first movie, but it's just got a lot more effects, a lot more fighting, and then it has Scarlett Johansson in tight leather, which is pretty much worth my price submission right there. And it just pretty much gears you up for the Avengers initiative, but I mean, it's still awesome. It's a great little fun film. Not as shocking as Kick-Ass.
Which was my next question. How Kick-Ass was Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass is really Kick-Ass. On all kinds of levels. If you want to take it really seriously, it's a great satire on just pop culture in general and how much people hide behind actual masks and avatars and things like that. But just for entertainment value, it was just fun in your face and just totally out there. You know, don't take it too seriously. I mean, it's a little girl killing people. It's not really real life. But it was fun.
Oh, it could be.
Well, I guess. If you want to blame everything on the media, AJ.
I am the media, motherfucker. Blame it on me. It's my fault.
It's all AG's fault. No, but it was cool. Actually, so far, the movie year has been doing really good.
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's about all I had for you. Where can we see you next?
I will be in the Phoenix at the Phoenix, Arizona Comic-Con, which should be awesome. I was there last year just handing out free stuff and checking everything out, and there was tons of people. And so hopefully this year will be just the same and even better, and hopefully not that hot.
Yeah, so
it'll be Memorial Weekend.
And we traded. We took the Rockin' Comic Con, and you took the fun one.
Yes. Well, you guys got Rockin' Comic Con because I'm retarded and I double booked. So.
Shh, don't give away our secrets. We're trying to be like badass. I know we got invited, motherfucker. What are you talking about?
I did invite you.
Hey, there you go. And you heard it here first. Yeah. Awesome, John. Thanks for that.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is AJ, and I'm here with Justin one more time.
Hi.
And we're here at what has to be the most boring convention show ever. Ever.
Yeah, definitely ever. It's been pretty dead.
Pretty dead. We're here in Claremont at the Kuckenhaus Show. It's a nice enough venue, decent enough place where it's kind of like a indoor mall kind of thingy, but small. A couple shops lining up, and we're pretty much basically right in the middle of the shops, the walkway and everything. How are you feeling about it today, Justin?
Well, I'm feeling pretty bored, but it's been mostly just the regular mall traffic. I don't know if anyone knew that there was a comic book show here today. There seems like there's been a couple people here for the comics. You can tell who they are.
Right.
But mostly it's just, you know, your regular mall traffic, and they're kind of wondering why we're here. And
walking up the aisleway.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like most of the stores aren't even open today, so even the normal mall traffic is down. But it's a cool enough idea. It's just I don't think word got out that there was going to be a show here today.
Right. Well, there's not really. I mean, you got what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 vendors here.
Yeah, it's not really a show as much as just
sit down with your shit and see who buys it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, that's the basic premise behind it, I think. Yeah, like you said, it's a good idea. If we had the traffic in here, I think it'd do a good job. I mean, we're in a good neighborhood for it. I think it's the first one back after a year of an absence.
Yeah, I think it's been about a year.
So maybe that's what the general feeling is around town, or the people that will come out to these shows. We, of course, continued on with our record by at least selling one each show that we're doing. We sold 3 issues and an ash can today. So I'm pretty happy with that. Highlight of the day?
Well, the guy that came bought a book, and then he came back and bought one for his friend. That was kind of cool. And got a couple leads on some cool possible, you know, commission work. So, I mean, it's never, so far, you know, all the shows we've done, it's never been a complete loss. You know, it's, as long as we get, you know, a few books out, I'm happy, you know.
Right.
So, at this point, we're not doing this trying to earn a living yet.
Right. Yet.
Yet. but, you know, so as long as, you know, few people buy it and are interested in it, you know, it makes me happy, but, you know, I would like more people to buy it and be interested in it, obviously.
So I can be more happy.
Right.
Highlight of my day was the hot chick that delivered the pita pit.
Yeah, actually that was the high point of the day was there's a pita pit very close by, and then on top of that they had a menu online, and then on top of that they deliver, and then on top of all that the girl was cute. So
that was my high point of the day. I mean, what more can you ask for? I mean, as much as bored as we are here, and as much as we would have probably liked to get up and walk over there, the fact that we didn't have to, we had to take advantage of that fact.
In the finest comic book professional tradition.
Right, right.
We prefer to sit on our ass and have the food brought to us.
Exactly. But unlike normal comic book traditions, this food was actually good for you.
Yeah, actually we did eat healthy food. So.
Ate some healthy food. Pita Pit, for those of you who don't know, and I'm full on marking out for them, PitaPit.com is the best thing ever invented. It's a Subway with pitas.
So a better quality meat and stuff.
Right, better quality meat. Like, I got a gyro, you know, with grilled mushrooms and cucumber and tzatziki and Dijon mustard, or horseradish Dijon. And it was phenomenal. It was awesome. And they toast the pita, too, and they put it in a huge pita. It's like a Chipotle burrito for a pita.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
So, like, this place is a bomb. Pita Pit. So if you come down to see us, come down for the pita. Stay for the comics.
Should make a poster of that.
There you go. That's our marketing campaign now. Blood Zombies, Pita Pit. So how's your week been?
Good. We had a birthday party for somebody last night, and that was pretty fun. Had some good Japanese barbecue.
Yeah, that guy must have been a lucky guy.
He is a lucky, lucky fellow. yeah,
it's me, by the way.
I worked on a little bit on the 24-hour, re-inking the 24-hour book, and I finished the pencils for my submission to the pinup book. And
I like how the artist of ZKS is submitting a pinup to the ZKS pinup contest. Because it's not like we don't see enough of your artwork as it is. Well, and you're always being printed.
Well, yeah, but I had a really good idea for a pinup. And, you know, obviously I've taken myself out of the running for the cover. I want somebody, you know, that's, you know, not involved with us to get that. But I just want to have a piece in there. I just want to have a piece in there. Like I said, I've had this idea for the concept for this sketch for a long time. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do with it. But then the pinup book came up, and I was like, oh, that would be a good idea for it. So I think it'll work out pretty well. I'm keeping AJ in suspense because I won't tell him what it is until I finish.
He already told me.
Lies.
He already told me. Massive amounts of zombies.
Oh, yeah. There's more zombies than I've ever drawn in one place ever.
I think he means by, you know, in the same place that he's sitting down, that he drew a lot of zombies in that location. But that's what I'm letting him believe so that he can keep smiling, thinking I'm in complete suspense. we've had a great turnout as far as the pinup contest goes. Some great work from Julian Aguilera, and then your friend
Scott Riddle.
Scott Riddle. I like this pinup too.
I think he's going to do another one. He wants to do one because the one he did was a ZKS member. He wants to do some zombie ones. So.
Hey, submit as many as you want, people. Like, we don't care. Have you been able to have a chance to read or watch or do anything this week other than slave over the drawing pad?
No. Well, I haven't read anything. I watched Daybreakers.
I'm so sorry.
It was all right. It was nice to see a vampire movie where they couldn't be out in the sun. And what I liked about
obviously, but the thing is, when they were in the sun, that was the cure.
Well, yeah. But what I liked about it was the way they set up the whole world after the vampires had, like, you know, taken over and stuff. I liked the way they, I don't know, the way they accumulated the whole, really the production design of it, the way they made everything work for vampires, how
right.
The mirrors were really just cameras projecting their image onto them because they couldn't see themselves in there. That's another thing. They kept a lot of the old vampire myths that a lot of people just discard now. And the story, you know, whatever, I liked just the little tidbits about it, the little extra stuff they did, and the advertisements, you know, and all that shit. That
right, the background noise.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff I like. And
Christine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right.
Cool, cool, cool.
Like I said, I've been wildly disappointed with recent vampire movies.
Twilight.
And,
talking about it, dude, you got the Twilight posters at your house.
Well, you know, got the books, but they're my wife's. So.
they're not allowed in his office.
But, you know, like I said, it was all right. It was a good rental. I'm glad I didn't go to the theater and see it. I would have been, you know, unhappy to waste my theater time in to see it. But, you know, it was all right. You know, I had lots of blood, so,
eh. Oh, there you go. There you go.
I give it a thumb sideways.
A thumb sideways. It's a jab in my thorax. So, yeah, that's been going on. I've had nothing really. Oh, I'm sure I've already talked about this on the show. If not, I'm sure I'll be talking about it after this. Siege finished up this past week, the Marvel tie-in book that they have out, and that's the big news, and, yeah, I'll go into further detail with Brian, but...
What was that about, Elon?
Siege is basically... So you know about Marvel Civil War?
Yes.
Okay, so after the Civil War happens, Osborn, basically Thor at one point in time, had bitch slapped Osborn and embarrassed him. So Osborn decided, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm going to go and we're going to raid Asgard because right now Asgard is floating three feet above Broxton, Montana. I believe it's at. So under the influence of Loki, he gathers up all his forces and they go and attack Asgard. In hopes of taking it down. And that's what Siege is about. Four issues of the main title itself, a whole bunch of side issues that's going on. Right now, Marvel's got a lot of things going on in this series with the Second Coming with the X-Men, which is jacked up. I'll be talking more about that later. As well as Siege, World War Hulk is starting up with you know, the Red Hulk, Scar, the Incredible Hulk, She-Hulk, going against all the new Red people. The big reveal on who the Red Hulk is came out this week, as well as who the Red She-Hulk is came out this week as well. So, a lot of big news, and I've caught up on my comic books. I ended up reading 212 comic books this week. playing catch-up, and there's a lot of noise in the background. A lot of noise. Noise. And random shadow movies anyway. So yeah, I read all those comics and played catch-up this week, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, I've been pretty busy. These little cons, nice. Thankfully enough, we get the next week and a half or so off from the convention circuit. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, it's been I've had a lot of fun, and I'm not complaining, but it has been a pretty hectic month. I mean, yeah.
Chris and I have seen each other more in the past 3 weeks than we have in the entire year and a half we've known each other.
In 3 weeks, we had four shows.
Because there was five.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Free Comic Book Day, Shrine, Rose Bowl,
and then today.
So four.
Possibly the Rocket Comics.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about just the initial 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the next convention will be Memorial Day. Hi, Chris. How are you? Do you want to talk on the mic? How's it going? That's how you get rid of Chris. Is you give him you put the microphone in front of his face.
He scampers off like a frightened schoolgirl.
Like a little girl.
Like a little girl.
he said, squeal, run away, squeal. So yeah, like the past couple of weeks have been really nasty, busy. Great. I love going to the convention scene. I think I am amped for the day when we do this full time, when we have to hit all the conventions and stuff. Even so much to where I would love if, like, one summer all of us popped into a car and just hit the tour all summer.
Yeah, I'd love to do, like, you know...
Like a road trip style.
Right, like a western region, you know, hit, like...
Right.
California, Oregon.
Start from San Diego, work our way up to Washington.
Arizona. Nevada, yeah. I'd really like to do that for a summer
And just do that tour. That'd be awesome. But in the middle of May, when we still got to work and go to school.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. You know, going to school and working, that really puts a damper when you got to spend all your weekends during convention. I'd rather be at home all week drawing and then be able to do the convention on the weekend.
How often have you seen your wife this past couple weeks?
Not very often.
Is that good or bad?
Nah, it's pretty bad. But
no. He has to say that in case she's listening.
Yeah. Well, she's been listening to the show now.
Ah, shit. Hi, Kenya. Hi, baby.
No, she's been really good. She knows this is what I want to do, so she's real supportive, and you couldn't ask for her to be more supportive. She's really all for it, and yeah. And she comes to the shows when she can, but usually Sundays aren't good for her, so...
Yeah, as is my girlfriend, she's really supportive of the whole situation. She's not listening, but I still have to, like, give it up because she's still there when I come home at night. What she's doing while I'm gone, I have no clue.
But she comes home, so.
But she's make sure she's home when I get home, so it's all good. So, yeah, there you have it. I think that'll probably do it for this live broadcast. I may try and talk to some people. But really, we're the only... There's maybe two other non-vendors here that are just, you know, indie publishers and stuff. So if I get a chance to go ahead and have a talk with them. So any last words before you say goodbye for a couple weeks?
No. Same old. Pay attention to the website and the Facebook, and we'll let you know where we're going to be. And even if you have the stuff, come on out and say hi and
show some support.
Yeah.
Just spread the word and keep us from being bored at shows like this.
Exactly. If nothing else, just do it out of pity.
Do it to come out here and watch our booth while we run around. That would be awesome.
Yeah, you could boost it for us. We'll give you a sticker.
I know. So for our pain for a sticker. I wanted to mention we have the 5 easy steps to identify the undead posters back in. A nice little stock on that, which will be up on the store here, as well as the blue mask schematics. Those will be up on the site as well, so I'm very amped about that. We got the second printing of the field manual. You like the field manual, right?
Oh, yeah. It's cool. Yeah, I think it'll be... it's cool because, like, we can give it out to the kids. It's a little more kid-friendly than the usual stuff. And
no boobs, no man ass.
No, there's no boobs, no man ass. Minimal, the blood in it's pretty cartoony, so there's no violence, just some blood on a shirt.
Right.
It's cool. It's cool enough. It's got enough style to where the adults like it too, but it's safe to give your kids or whatever. So that's cool because a lot of our customers have kids and they pick up stuff
or our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty scary sometimes with the free comic book day. You see, like, these 9-year-olds walking around with our books. It's like,
right.
Oh, where'd they get that?
Wait a minute.
But, yeah, it's cool. I'm looking forward to doing more of the field manuals and more of the schematic prints, too. I think that's going to be really cool.
How long did it take for the schematic, for you to do the schematic?
Not very long. I had it basically done for a while because I had drawn up the front and side views of the helmet just for my own references, so I drew it the same every time. And then it was AJ's idea. He's like, we should do like a blueprint of this. And so, once I thought about that, I just did that, just drew it in white on the computer, put it on a blue background. So, it didn't take very long at all. The trickiest thing was, making up all the fancy stuff the helmet does, making it sound like I knew what I was talking about. But
the terminology and the lingo down.
We want to do one with various different aspects of the troops.
You have one drawn to the eyes, and it's like, this one helps you see in the dark.
Yeah. This is a dark seeing lens.
This one breathes.
But we want to do one that of the actual uniform, and then the issue of basic weapons they get, and just different ones, and maybe include one here and there in an issue, and then collect them all in the trade.
Cool. I think that'd be awesome. We're also working on getting the afterlife blueprint done, which I think will be like the most badass thing we've ever done.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be cool. We wanted to make posters of that. Like,
I might make a banner of it and just hang it underneath the Forbidden Panel one of the last shows.
Yeah, I'd like to get like full size, like movie size posters
right,
that have it.
Right, like 7 feet long. Yeah, that'd be madness. There you go. Keep an eye on us and enjoy the rest of the show.
And there you have it, everybody. Those were the recordings that we did. As you can tell, Justin and I had not a lot of cool things to say. We were pretty bored. But we are excited because of the opportunities that we have for going out to the conventions and what have you, meeting new people and meeting new fans. So that's always a cool thing. So, our next convention will be the Pasadena Rockin' Con. That happens Memorial Day weekend. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's happening in Pasadena. You can go check out the website either on Forbidden Panel or the Pasadena Rockin' Con website itself. Come check us out. All 3 days we'll be there. We'll have a lot of cool stuff from ZKS as well as other paraphernalia and some of Justin's own solo work from Necrosapien Press that he's doing. So why don't we go ahead and take another break, and when we come back, Brian and I will be talking about some of the news and some of the reviews we got going on. So be right back.
Hey, this is John from Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we are back from our break. We're going to go ahead and jump into a little bit of good old comic news stuff. Got a story here. This one, I don't know exactly how factual the whole story is, considering the fact that we already checked out some of it, and it didn't seem to be correct, saying that Mark Hamill was going to be getting his directorial debut with directing The Black Pearl. However, we did a quick check on IMDb, and it looks like he's directed at least one movie.
Yeah, at least one movie called Comic Book the Movie, which was done in 2004. So, where did you get the story from?
Cinema Blend.
Well, they need to learn how to use IMDb.
Apparently. So, I honestly don't know anything at all about the Black Pearl comic books. According to this, it was written by Mark Hamill, so... I think it's... I don't know. I guess it's kind of weird that he'd be directing the film, but... I guess it's not really that weird. I don't know. Hollywood kind of does all kinds of weird things, so... But it usually seems like they don't want the person that actually wrote the story originally to work on it for the film.
And normally that's the case, you know, where they're just like, yeah, well, you wrote the story, but we've got a cool little person to work on the film, so bye.
Yeah. I mean, look at how many times they tried to make a screenplay for Ender's Game. And every time Orson Scott Card wrote a screenplay for that, they rejected it, and eventually just went nowhere.
Right. Though, like, with the recent inception of, like, Wanted and Kick-Ass, you know, like, Mark Millar has become more involved in the filmmaking, and Joe Quesada, as well as Avi Arad, all those people from Marvel seem to be more involved into the filmmaking process. But as far as them being directors, like, it's not something that I've heard of before.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. I don't know. A lot of times when movies and situations like this get announced, when somebody is directing a movie, 90% of the time it never actually falls through anyways. It just kind of gets canceled or gets passed around for 50 years before somebody actually gets around to making it into a film. So,
all right. And I haven't read the actual Black Pearl comic itself, though I did just wiki it, and I have a little short synopsis of it. Apparently it's a 5-issue comic book limited series published by Dark Horse Comics in 1996. It was written by Eric Johnson and Mark Hamill, illustrated by H.M. Baker, and it focuses on Luther Drake, a troubled man who becomes a costume vigilante hero by accident and media pressure. It's described as a crime thriller and a 5-part graphic novel. Less about superheroes and more about sensationalism, tabloid journalism, and all the things that thrillers come from. So it's kind of like, sounds like it's almost like a Transmetropolitan. But apparently he wrote the screenplay originally as a film, has been trying to promote it since 1996, and is basically just now getting picked up with him as the director. So there you have it, 14 years later.
Yeah.
Well, not 14, like, sorry, 8 years. No, is it 14? I can't do math anymore. 14 years, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, well, like I said, these projects seem to just kind of languish in production hell forever, so. Got a couple of stories here regarding Heroes, which I think everybody heard that Heroes has been canceled.
Which is really no big loss, in my opinion.
Yeah,
after the second season, I think I was just done with them.
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody was kind of sick of Heroes. Like, there's a few diehards, but it seemed like, in terms of the general populace, that they were all done with Heroes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not really surprising. What I did find kind of interesting is another story I came across that apparently NBC and the creators of Heroes are being sued for the third season of Heroes. The third season or fourth season? I'm not sure because they had those short season in there.
Right.
So I'm not sure of the numbering, but whatever season it was where they had their circus storyline.
This past season.
Yeah, so whatever season this was, a fourth season, I'm pretty sure. So I think season two was like the half season. But anyway, this guy, Jason Wilde, I guess, had this series. It was called Carnival of Souls. And he's essentially saying that their fourth season pretty much ripped off his entire comic, in terms of even to the point of ripping off dialogue and ripping off scenarios, as well as the main overarching plot of a guy running a circus who is collecting super people to try to make himself more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I personally haven't read these comics, so I can't comment from my own knowledge on it.
Well, you know, in retrospect also, Heroes kind of stole off the whole Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could definitely look at it and say that this guy, this Jason Wilde, stole his thing from Something Wicked This Way Comes. I mean, it starts getting hard when you get into a lot of these copyright situations, because trying to figure out exactly what copyright covers and what it doesn't. I mean, it's pretty specific in terms of the law, but it seems like people's interpretations of it really kind of cause problems.
Right.
And then, you know, you'll have people that write stories that are similar, but they have, like, some similar plot lines or maybe similar characters or some similar dialogue, but really are not related at all.
Well, seriously, when you create a series or any type of storyline that involves multiple characters as far as having powers or what have you, you're going to run into the same storylines that you've seen before written in comics or anything like that, only because you kind of run out of ideas, you know, and everything is influenced by everything anyway. I mean, who's to say that, you know, like we're stating just a couple seconds ago, that this guy, Jason Barnes, also, who had written the book under Jason Wilde, who's to say he didn't borrow that storyline off of somebody else, and somebody else borrowed it off of that, you know? So,
right. I mean, the sort of twisted circus storyline is really a kind of a common theme.
Yeah, I mean, it's very common
literature,
thing, especially like the evil carnival type thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I know personally, I had a friend who I worked with on an independent film company who was all about creating a Carnival of Souls. You know,
and that's sort of what that TV show Carnival was about,
right?
Sort of a dark, twisted sort of.
Exactly.
I mean, so
it borrowed off. Everybody borrows off of everybody else. The problem is that the creators of Heroes should have had somebody to do the research to make sure they weren't stepping on anybody else's toes, to ensure that this kind of crap wasn't going to happen.
Right. Well, from what I've read, I read a couple of different stories about it, and what it seems to be is that they've actually lifted material from him in terms of the dialogue and the characters and the plot line. It wasn't just that there was a lot of similarities, but that it was actually that they almost kind of use his comics as the template for writing the series.
Right. No, that's the same thing I read too, that it was just basically a straight ripoff of it, even down to like you said, the dialogue and what have you.
Right. Which, if it's something that they could show that they did lift his dialogue and that they did lift the actual plot lines that he wrote, I guess I could see the lawsuit being able to progress. But if it's just something where the characters are similar, then I don't know. People always try to claim ripoffs when situations like that, when you have similar characters, but I don't really agree. I mean, because eventually you're going to recycle the same ideas. Like we said, it's just going to happen. There's only a certain number of really character archetypes that you can have.
Right.
And pretty much, I mean, if you've ever written what is read that book. Jesus, I can't even talk right now. If anybody's ever read the book, what is it, Hero with a Thousand Faces, which I know would... That particular book was the basis for a lot of really popular works of fiction out there. I mean, the way that the original Star Wars trilogy was structured was based off of Hero with a Thousand Faces. I mean, the guy really kind of laid out how all of the stories throughout history have all sort of been built off of the same sort of archetypal stories, the same type of characters, the same type of situations.
Right.
And just embellished with local flavor, but sort of retelling the same journey over and over again.
Right. So, I mean, there's really no way to avoid it. The thing that you need to make sure, though, is if you're going to publish anything, to make sure that you get it copyrighted and to protect yourself, to make sure it doesn't get sued. I mean, not sued. Make sure it doesn't get stolen or used in any other type of form.
Yeah, but even then, it's hard to do because so many things get copyrighted. I mean, you legally you own the copyright as soon as you create something, but there's just so many copyright registrations come in all the time that it's really hard. But you would think somebody like NBC would have the resources to want to check up and make sure that, hey, is this thing that we're creating going to get us sued? You know, is there something out there that's similar enough to what we're doing that we could get
Or maybe for? Maybe they did and they decided, their lawyer team decided, hey, well, that's all right because we can, you know, it's something we're
willing
to tackle.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they could have said, hey, we could afford it. We could afford the lawsuit. Let's just go with it.
Right. Though apparently they couldn't because they got canceled. Originally, they had stated that they were going to try and make a 2-hour movie to try to wrap up all the storylines or what have you. And now they're just they've stated that they're not even going to bother trying. Heroes is just done. The last episode you saw of Heroes is the last episode you'll see of Heroes. It's done. It's time to move on. So, which is sad because I think with the amount of talent they had on the show and the possible storylines that they could have done, they really could have gone somewhere. But I'm not hearing that in four or five seasons that they've had the show on, two characters have died. I'm not hearing that with all the battles and everything going on. And on top of that, you had one main bad guy throughout the entire series. It doesn't work. You need to have multiple bad guys or a consortium of bad guys or something happen. And you have to see favored people go. That's the only way it's going to work. And we've seen in comic books, how often have we seen somebody die and then come right back? We're all sick of the same shit. We're all sick of the same villains, the same archetype roles being played, and the same storylines being generated over and over again. You guys had an opportunity to create something original and run with it in a grand way, and it just didn't work after 4 seasons. So it's really sad because, like, I mean, I remember when we went down and we saw, you know, Heroes, the whole fanfare at Comic-Con before it even came out, we were completely amped about it, you know? Like, sweet, a Smallville that's a lot better than Smallville. Awesome! You know, but it just dug its own grave throughout time, and it was just sad to see.
Yeah. Another piece of sad news here. This one was a really big one that I'm actually surprised it didn't get more press than it did. It really should have, but celebrated artist Frank Frazetta passed away at age 82. I think he really was sort of the pioneer of that whole sword and sorcery type of art style.
Right.
With, you know, just like the muscular warriors with the, you know, scantily clad, like, lady in distress.
The Conan style art form.
Yeah. Conan, something along those lines. I think Conan probably is the biggest one that most people would know, but there's also that one painting that he did that was particularly well known, and I can never remember the name of it. But it's like some sort of like dark warrior sitting on top of a horse. There's like a pile of skulls around him.
Right. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty sad that he passed away. I mean, he lived to 82, which is pretty good run. But it's still just, I mean, losing talent like that is something I think that, especially in the comic book world and just in the art world in general, it's something that's going to be felt because there's nobody that can do what he does.
No, and anybody that comes after him will be seen as like a tribute artist to him.
Right.
Or, you know, some sort of offshoot of him. And, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Because, I mean, he was an amazing artist. He broke a lot of boundaries. I mean, he had been releasing paintings since 1963. So, I mean, yeah. It's sad to see that he has gone. His art style was truly unique. And while it wasn't in the main... it wasn't out there in mainstream media that he had passed away too often, I did see his impact... I did feel his impact throughout the whole comic book community. Everybody on Twitter was talking about it. Everybody on Facebook was talking about it. All the indies that we know, they were all talking about it and devastated. And all the artists that we
right.
know, you know, they were talking about how sad it was. And it truly is sad because, I mean, this guy was truly amazing. And it's a big loss for the artist community, not just the comic book community, but just art in general. I mean, the amount of stuff that he did album covers, he did movie posters. He did just almost everything, so.
Yeah, he really was wide-reaching in terms of his talent. I mean, he wasn't just a comic book artist. You know, he really did a little bit of everything. He had his hand in all sorts of mediums, so. He's one of those people that has influenced so many different artists out there that is going to be missed.
Yep, truly missed.
And something else that died in its 80s here, the overly long-running comic series Little Orphan Annie was just canceled recently after 86 years, which I think is about 56 years longer than it should have run.
I think it's about 85 years longer than it should have run, personally. But
well, you have to consider the time period when it was created, and it was, I don't know, it was what it was.
Right.
Personally, I never cared for it at all, but somebody must have for it to run 86 years.
Wasn't it running in the Sunday Morning Comics still?
Yeah.
That's probably what kept it alive then, I think.
Yeah, well, certain papers were, but the reason why Tribune Media ended up dropping it is because they only had 20 newspapers running it, and so they just decided to just drop it all together.
Yeah, it was time for it to go.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to about cover everything that I've got for the news. So if you have any other stories that you've seen out there or something that I've missed.
Yeah, well, there's something that I really, 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 really want to discuss that had gotten canceled this past week. And it's truly...
Oh, yes.
Truly devastating to me, and I'm sure to you as well. Even though...
It's a good show.
Even though, like, it really didn't get a lot of fanfare and a lot of people watching it, it's still disappointing to see something like this go. And that is Better Off Ted. The show Better Off Ted has officially been canceled, which is highly disappointing to me. I mean, I didn't think it'd be any show would bother me that much when it got canceled, but Better Off Ted for me, I don't know, man. For some reason, I loved that show. It was an awesome show. We've talked about it plenty of times here on the show.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I mean, it was just... I don't know, the premise of the show seems like it wouldn't be that interesting, but it was really well written, well acted.
Yeah, I mean...
Pretty much everybody on the show was funny.
Yeah, I mean, they did an amazing job with the show. They did great production value on it. And it just didn't go anywhere. It got canceled. I think what the problem was is when they released it, it came on during like all this bad stuff going on, the Super Bowl. They had a mid-season hiatus. They only had like 8 episodes the first season. You know, all the stuff that was going on, it just had bad timing, and which is sad because the show could have done really, really good. I had predicted it to last a long time, and it's just, I don't know, it's sad to see it go. So I'm very cranky about that, in case you can't tell. So for those of you who had not seen Better Off Ted yet, you need to go pick up the DVDs, Netflix, or whatever you got to do, man. Just check out the show. And voice your opinion about it, because who knows, it might get brought back, like Southland did. I started watching Southland recently, because I heard that it got moved, it got canceled from NBC originally, and then moved over to TNT. So I was wondering, what about this show is that good that it got moved over to a different network? I had only heard about that happening to one other show, and that was Buffy. So I was curious about it, and I watched Southland. It's a really amazing show. It moved over to TNT, and it's doing great there. It's got picked up for a third season. So, you know, I'm very excited about that. So I'm hoping that something like that happens to Better Off Ted. It's just, I don't know. It's like a Ben Temple Smith comic book, okay? You can't just look at what's going on in the foreground. You got to pay attention to what's happening in the background as well. Because everything altogether is just funny and awesome. And the commercials that they did, the Viridian Dynamic commercials.
Yeah, those are probably the best part of that.
And they were awesome, man. They were like Saturday Night Live commercials back in the day where you were afraid to fast forward past the commercial because you didn't know if it was part of the sketch or not, you know? So,
right.
And I dug it. It was really cool. Some of the other cancellations that have happened in the past week that have been released. This side from Fox is, most notably, is 24. 24 has been canceled. Yeah,
good riddance.
I'm not feeling any love lost on that, but again, I wasn't a huge fan of the show. Those of you that were, I'm sure you know you'll be upset about it. Brothers was canceled after only lasting one season. I caught a couple episodes of this, and I wasn't really impressed. So yeah, no big deal there. Dollhouse was canceled, but we already knew that was going to happen. Poor Joss Whedon just can't get a break. Like seriously, Past Life I never bothered to watch. Sons of Tucson I tried to watch. That was a new one with Tyler Levine. And it too was not all that impressive, as well as Till Death, that was canceled also. The renewals that happened was American Dad, American Idol, America's Most Wanted. That's a lot of America on Fox. Bones, which I'm a huge fan of, Cleveland Show, which I'm surprised at, Cops, Family Guy, yay, Fringe, yay, cult classic Glee, which is taking off like crazy. I still have yet to watch an episode of this, but I'm sure eventually I will. Hell's Kitchen, the other comic book series that's going on TV right now that nobody knows was a comic book, and that's Human Target, that got a renewal. Kitchen Nightmares, Lie to Me, The Simpsons, and So You Think You Can Dance. What would America do without So You Think You Can Dance and American Idol? I don't know, but I'm afraid to find out.
Start thinking for themselves?
Yeah, who knows. Fox has also announced its new lineup of new shows that's coming out. You can check it out on the website. That's ForbiddenPanel.com. But the one I wanted to discuss right now is called Terra Nova. Brian, did you have a chance to read on the website about this show?
No, I didn't.
This show is basically sounds like Land of the Lost. Okay, the image that they put up there is pretty awesome. You know, you see a lot of CGI background, mountains and water, and pterodactyls flying around. And here's what it is. It's an epic family adventure, 85 million years in the making. The action-adventure series follows an ordinary family from the future on an extraordinary journey back in time to prehistoric Earth as part of a massive expedition to save the human race. Now, tell me if that does not sound like Land of the Lost to you.
Yeah,
or
pretty much.
Lost in Space. Or, you know, yeah. The only difference is, and here's the kicker, it's being produced by Steven Spielberg and David Fury, Peter Sherman, and Brandon Braga, who are big names out in the community. Steven Spielberg, well-known. Peter and Brandon are from 24, as well as Star Trek Enterprise. And David Fury produces 24 and Lost. So that sounds like it's going to be like the big hit coming out. And I'm pretty anxious to see it, but you know, we'll see what happens. The other cancellations that we'll talk about, NBC released its list of cancellations. Again, you can go check out the website and see it for yourself, but I'm just going to run through them real quick. Heroes, which we've already talked about. The Jay Leno Show, which we saw coming. And 20 years of Law and Order is finally being canceled. So, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Law and Order. I catch the repeats on the weekends. So I'm sure there's plenty of episodes to keep us thriving and alive. But, yeah, it's not. It was time for it to go. New hits like Mercy and Trauma have been canceled as well. Trauma I'm a big fan of, but I was sad to see it go. I think I talked about it on one of the panel casts here about the three medical drama shows that are out and just flooding the market. Mercy and Drama were two of those. And they lasted an entire season while the other one didn't. Three Rivers, I believe it was called. It didn't even last the whole season. But at least these two lasted a season. So that's too bad. The renewals include 30 Rock, yay, The Apprentice, The Biggest Loser, Chuck, which I'm a huge fan of. This past week's Chuck was awesome. I don't know if you saw it, Brian, but it was just awesome. Community, Friday Night Lights, again, a huge fan of that. The Marriage Ref, The Office, Parenthood, Parks and Recreation, which I don't understand why anybody likes that show. Saturday Night Live, The Sing-Off, Sunday Night Football, and who do you think you are? Those all got renewals. But the thing I wanted to talk about real quick was what new shows will be shown on the new on the network. And the one that's got me all kinds of intrigued is called The Cape. Now, I put a trailer up on our Facebook, so you have a chance, go check it out. It is Vince Faraday is an honest cop on a corrupt police force who finds himself framed for a series of murders and presumed dead, fueled by a desire to reunite with his family and to battle the criminal forces that have overtaken Palm City. Faraday becomes his son's favorite comic book superhero, The Cape, and takes law into his own hands. And speaking of circus, also in the mix is a circus ringleader who mentors him, an investigative blogger, Summer Glau, who wages war on crime and corruption, and a former detective and friend of Faraday's. The Cape's nemesis, Max Mellini, a billionaire who moonlights as a serial killer. It sounds cheesy as shit, doesn't it? It sounds like complete crap, and yeah, there's no love going on there. But I'm telling you, go check out the trailer. It looks pretty cool, actually. I'm kind of impressed, and now I'm anxious to see it. So we'll see what happens there. The other one I'm looking forward to is called The Event. It's a high-octane conspiracy thriller about a guy who investigates the mysterious disappearance about his fiance and unwillingly begins to expose global conspiracy that could ultimately change the fate of mankind. Sounds like that one with Jeff Bridges where he gets kidnapped and the Infinity symbols all over the place. I can't remember the name of it, but...
I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know. It sounds like that, but who knows? It might be kind of cool. So, yeah, there you have it. Got some other news to talk about, but those are mostly about comic books, and we can do that in the next segment. So that's all I have for this segment, Brian.
All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break and then be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games. And yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the panel cast. This segment, we're going to talk about some of the news that's going on in the comic books. Not too much as far as big news is going on, like, you know, anything coming out or anything like that. But I did want to talk about some of the stuff that's ended recently and how it's going to affect the comic book universe. First off, right now is going on Second Coming in the X-Men storyline, which I'm really kind of digging. It's about, if any of you are familiar with what's going on in the X-Men universe right now, last year the first mutant born after M-Day was born and was given to Cable to protect. He ran through time with her, and now she's come back. And since she's come back, the whole anti-mutant coalition and everything is going on is trying to chase after her. Because of that, we've seemed to have lost one of the most awesome comic book characters of all time. And if you haven't heard about it, spoiler alert, fast forward real quick. But Nightcrawler has been the first casualty in this comic book. In that he's been killed and there is no more Nightcrawler. But it's comic book, so we'll probably see him back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But he went out the way Nightcrawler would go out, in the most noblest fashion, saving a life. So that was kind of really, really awesome about it. I really dug that. It's going on right now. We're about a month into it, so if you haven't had a chance to pick it up, you should get into the series. It's looking like it's going to be pretty cool. The other one that just ended was Siege. And that is, I believe I've talked about on the show many times before, in that Norman Osborn had been running the country, S.H.I.E.L.D., Hammer, the whole nine. And he decided to go ahead and attack Asgard under the influence of Loki. Well, that series just ended. And I have to say, man, I was really fucking impressed with all the stuff that happened in it. We saw a major death in it, in Loki, who decided to man up and apologize for all the stuff going on. But I love the way he explained it away. Like, they're like, how could you do this, Loki? How could you do it? And Loki's like, all right, Thor, you're the god of thunder. So you bring the thunder. I'm the god of mischief. I can't fucking help it. That's who I am. You know? And they're like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense, you know? So it was really good. I was surprised at what happened to it. And the Sentry is no longer with us, which I thought was the most ridiculous character in the world anyway. So, but yeah, if you have a chance, I'm sure that it'll be collected into a trade paperback here pretty soon. So give it a look, because I'm sure you'll want to read it just to understand what's happening in the next section. World War Hulks is an up and down thing going on for me right now. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I think it's utterly ridiculous. But yeah, I believe it was called War of the Hulks or some other crap of the Hulks. I don't know. But it's just getting retarded now. It's basically how many Hulks can you fit into a series? How many gamma radiated idiots can you fit into a book? And that's what it's turning into. Though the big reveal, everybody in the world was wondering who the hell the Red Hulk is, and it was finally shown to be, spoiler alert, General Thaddeus Ross. And the Red She-Hulk was Betty Ross. So now you know that big reveal came out. I'm waiting to see what the feedback is, what the throwback is on that one. Yeah, there you go. And then Brian and I just read the end of what had to have been one of our newest favorite books, and that being The Sword. Brian, why don't you go ahead and describe that one for us?
Well, I don't know if I want to give away the ending of The Sword, but yeah, it was pretty rough, to say the least.
Give us a rundown on the series.
Okay. Well, for anybody that hasn't read this series yet, The Sword follows a girl named Dara who discovers that her father is actually this ancient warrior that was sort of tricked by the gods into becoming like their... I don't know exactly what. The gods, these characters, kind of had a feud amongst themselves, and so in a plot to kill their brother, they hire this guy and give him this magical sword, and then he ends up turning and using it against them, and so he sort of forces them to try to, I guess, become more moral, try to prevent them from using their powers to rule over people, and manages to keep them in check for thousands of years, and then he finally settles down and starts a family. And they track him down and kill him trying to find the sword and are not able to recover it. But in the process, his daughter escapes and she manages to find the sword and then is able to use the sword's power to start tracking these people down and take her revenge on these gods that killed her family. And so the series has been pretty brutal. If anybody is familiar at all with the Luna Brothers, they know that they...
pull no punches.
They don't pull any punches. They're not out of the way graphic gory in the
sense
that...
They're not Garth Ennis.
Yeah, they're definitely not Garth Ennis, but they don't pull any punches either. Their stories are usually pretty dramatic, pretty terrifying in places. And just, I mean, they do have some gore in there, especially in The Sword. There's a lot of severed limbs and intestines flying about. But the series just finally ended, and I'm still not 100% sure how I feel about the ending of it. In some ways, I guess there really wasn't any other way that they could have ended that story. I mean, I could see another outcome to it, but it was one of those things where you're really kind of wondering, how is this all going to end? Like, what's going to happen after she gets her revenge? And so, but yeah, it's the ending is pretty rough, though, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, I particularly, you know, we've discussed this on the show before. In fact, I seem to be saying that a lot during this episode, that we've discussed this on the show before. But it's true. We've discussed this on the show before. The Lunar Brothers, they're one of my favorite collaborative teams going on right now. You know, aside from us. But... they're one of my favorite collaborative teams right now. In the vein of the Hughes brothers or the Wachowski brothers, you know, they seem to – or Wachowski siblings now that one of them had a sex change.
Right.
They seem to be really on key with each other. They make a really good team. One's a writer. One's the artist. And they – like we said before, they pull no punches when it comes to their storytelling. They don't try to go over the top bloody, though they seem to have topped themselves with this series. And not just blood, but in action and just pure out violence. But at the same time, the story warrants it. So it's not like, I don't want to say over the top. Maybe over the top is being too harsh. It's
right. It's graphic violence, no doubt, but it fits in with the flow of the storyline. Like, as you read the story and the events of the story, I mean, the violence fits in there. It's not just...
It's not violence to be violence.
Right.
It's just, it's fitting. It's what a god would do if their life was in jeopardy. So, based on that, I think that they're an awesome team, and I think this book was superb. I think it's one of the best ones. One of the best books that they've done, aside from Girls. Girls being probably my favorite right now.
I think I actually like The Sword better than Girls.
Yeah, well,
Girls was good.
It's one or the other, you know, honestly. It's one or the other. But, yeah, this is good. And the ending, yeah, I got to give it up. They had me surprised at the ending at how it went. So, you know, I was impressed with that. So, yeah, if you – you know, I say this a lot, but if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do. It's in trade paperback right now. Number 24 just came out. They had a release party over at Meltdown Comics where the Luna Brothers were out there signing issue number 24. So they made a big stink about it. And, I really dug it. Brian and I literally, during one of the breaks, just read the comic book. Just read number 24. So, and we seemed to agree. Let us know what you think. Because, you know, anything that we say on here, we'd really like your opinions. Especially if you think we're wrong or don't agree with our opinions, just let us know. Post it on the website.
Send in the hate mail.
Yeah, send in the hate mail. Put it on the website. We're on Facebook now. We're on Twitter. Just toss us what's up. We're on WordPress. We're on Blogspot. Like, seriously, I don't know where the hell we're not at, but we're there. We're even on Buzz. And yeah, so that's sad. Let us know what you think. But I believe that is all for the comic book news in this section. So we're going to go ahead and take another break. Brian, unless you have something else you want to talk about?
Nope.
Awesome. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is going to be our last segment here real quick, and we just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Real quick, Brian, you had something you wanted to talk about Geek Girls about?
Yeah, I just wanted to announce that... I'm looking to make some changes to the Geek Girls show. I know it's been a while since I've put one out, and part of that is just I haven't really had any contact from anybody wanting to do this show, but also because I'm currently in the process of trying to change the structure of this show a little bit more, add a little bit more content, and also I'm trying to look into adding like a regular or semi-regular co-host to the show. So I'm working some stuff out right now, and we'll try to get a Geek Girls episode done as soon as possible.
Yeah, you need to hurry up with that, because I'm missing it.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, and I apologize to everybody out there, but, you know, if you want to hear another one, go ahead and refer some ladies to me that want to do a show.
Or refer yourself, and pretend like you're a lady.
Yeah, I thought about doing that, but I don't know how well that would come across.
You never know. Could be interesting. All right, well, anyway, so we're looking forward to that. We want to remind everybody to please find us on Facebook. I made the promise that if we get 200 ZKS fans, we will all do the Thriller Dance in ZKS gear. I promise to keep that promise. A little repetitive there. So find us up there. We are forbidden at facebook.com/ZKS or Zombie Kill Squad. Find Forbidden Panel at facebook.com/forbiddenpanelnews. Join up. Let us know what you guys think about the show. Let us know about what you think about the news or anything that we got going on. At the next convention, like I said before, we'll be at the Pasadena Rockin' Con. That's held Memorial Day weekend. We'll be up there all 3 days. Come find us on Blogspot as well as WordPress. We have all our stuff up there. Let us know what you think at all times, guys, because we're doing this for you, and we need to know what you guys think. You know, we're also a publishing company, so if you guys have any ideas for comic books that you'd like to see published, send your ideas to us. We built the website designed it as a community so that artists and writers can find each other. So post some of your work, and hopefully you guys will find somebody else, some like-minded individuals that will want to work on the comic with you and help your dreams come a reality like it did for us. If that happens and you find each other on the Forbidden Panel site and you guys got your stuff together, send it to us and we'll publish it. And we'll put it out there and invite you out to the conventions to sign your book and promote yourself. It can be an awesome experience. Please check out our new store, forbiddenpanel.com/stores. We have a lot of new stuff up there. We're going to also have our ash can up there, as well as the poster that accompanies the ash can, both for $1. So it should be kind of cool to check it out. Check out necrosapien.net. That's Justin White. He's the artist on ZKS. And see some of his individual prints that he's got going on up there. His store will be up shortly. Check out brandyossett.com, fourcolorfantasies.com, drawhearts.com, hightowercomics.com, all these other .coms. They're out there. Brian?
No, I don't have anything else to add. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and for listening, even if you don't respond back all that often. And just thanks for helping us, you know, really get our dreams going.
Yeah. If you're listening to this while you're drawing, which apparently a lot of artists are doing, please shoot us an email to let us know that you're doing so. We'll mention it on the show, as well as let us know some of the artwork that you're doing, working on while you're listening to us. Because anything that our voice is helping you power through to draw, we're interested in seeing. Don't forget about the ZKS pinup contest. It's going strong right now. We've got like 3 responses to it so far. I know a lot of other people are working on it. The deadline is July 12th, but we're anxious to see some of your work. Some of the work we've got in is just phenomenal.
And yeah, we've got some really fantastic stuff already, so please keep sending that in.
Yeah, you guys are just impressive. Even if it's stick figures, man. I saw a guy doing stick figures of the ZKS stuff, and it looked kind of cool, man. It was all original and stuff, so I'm really amped to see it and really excited about the whole deal. Send it in and let us know what you think. Let us know what you're doing. So, if there's nothing else, Brian, then I will go ahead and say adieu, and we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.